Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. You know how we love Vivo, so let me break down some information on some shoes real quick. Now, everyone asked me what is the greatest one to kind of start with, and honestly, any of the Primus Light 3s that they have are going to be great baseline shoes, whether it's walking, working out, just everyday use. And again, everyday use means breaking it in over time for your foot. If you've never used a barefoot shoe before, if you walk in shoes around your house, you're going to need to start slow, right? So maybe an hour a day and slowly breaking it up after that, using it only for errands, for short walks, and then starting to use it more throughout the day. So you might not be using it for work every day just yet, especially if you're on your feet a lot. Now, I love the Geo Racer knit. I just have to throw that out there. However, sizes are super limited. So get in and check it out continuously to see if your size continues to pop up. Okay. Now, the last thing that I want to mention is the Tracker Decon FG2. This is a brand new like hiking trail boot that they have, which is super cool looking, but they've improved it even more so that the base is really great for any terrain and grip so that you're not going to slip when you're hiking and all of that. So these three shoes, I'm telling you, they're going to be so game changer in your footwear health. And again, the more that we are able to feel the ground, the more that we're able to strengthen the foot and strengthen all the way up the chain so we feel something different in our knees, our hips, and our low back. So incredibly crucial to pay attention to our feet. So if you haven't checked out Vivo Barefoot yet, we're going to link down below, but the code for 15% off just for our podcast listeners is Optimal. So use code OPTIMAL at checkout. Get 15% off. This is only for our podcast listeners because we appreciate you so, so much. So please check out these Vivo shoes. Get your first pair if you haven't leapt on yet and feel the difference within your body. So we want to run through these five things relatively quickly so we don't take up too much of your time. But really, it's so important as our body ages to start to pay attention to these little things. And it doesn't have to be so time consuming and overwhelming if we just start to think small, right? And I think that's what we really want to build on. How do we build the foundation of these five things in order for us to carry on and start to age as gracefully as possible in the way that we feel, move, and function?
Yeah, because it can be really such little things, and it's things that we probably already do throughout the day where we, with a little bit of added awareness, could work on most of these.
Yeah.
Right? Without really necessarily adding anything extra in. It's just being a little bit more aware during certain aspects of our day. And that brings us to our first tip, which is our feet.
Yeah.
We really, really need to start paying attention to our feet because for our first 30, 40, 50 years of life or more, especially as we're in school, as we're in athletics potentially, and then in the workforce, we're not really paying attention to what we're doing with our feet. We cram them in our shoes. We cram them in our athletic footwear. We cram them in our, especially if we're working in an office, our dress shoes, or when we're going out or going to weddings, we're putting them in our fancy high heels or as uncomfortable as all get out, you know, dress shoes that I can't even put on my feet anymore.
I know.
And then by the time we're 50 or 60 years old, we've reduced the sensation in our feet. We can't feel the ground as well. We can't move our toes. So many things that we should be able to do and are very, very vital to our health.
Exactly. So starting to pay attention to your feet earlier is going to be so beneficial. It's just extremely necessary. And rather than relying on these external things like orthotics that are going to do all the work for us, they're really not. They can be supportive in certain situations when necessary and when needed. Mm-hmm. They can help us to address pains and symptoms and different things as we are in that time period. But otherwise, outside of that, you have the ability, no matter what age, to start to address your feet. And, you know, one of the best examples I have is using my mom, because for as long as I can remember, we were told, you know, find the shoes with arch support. They have to have good arch support. And that's what I was always taught growing up. And that's what we were looking for. So I know that's the type of shoes that my mom put her foot in for 60 years, you know, mm-hmm. and it has most of those shoes are aesthetically pleasing. So they're having more of a narrow toe box. So they're squeezing our toes and we don't have the ability to move our feet. Mm. And so even if we weren't going to change our shoes right away, even if you just started with that sock trick that I talk about all the time, where you're interlacing your socks between your toes, even if we just started there and you did that for 10 minutes a night, and then maybe you can start to like tap into those Vivo barefoot shoes every once in a while that we talk about, you know, but starting to address your feet health, no matter what age you're at, is going to be really crucial. And this helps us to build not only the strength, but our proprioception. So like you said, mentioning balance is so incredibly important as we age.
Yeah, balance. And then again, that baseline mobility. So Jen mentioned the sock trick, but if you can't look down at your feet and actively get your toes to move and separate a little bit, or maybe try and lift your big toe while your other four toes are sitting still, and then do the opposite, lift your other four toes and while your big toe kind of remains still, that means we've really lost a lot of that motor connection from our brain to foot. And along with the balance and the proprioception, or our foot's ability to sense the floor and help us with our balance, that mobility in the toes is so important as well. Because if we can't extend our toes a certain amount, we're not going to be able to walk well without manipulating or changing at the ankle or turning our foot out slightly and pushing more off the insides of our toes. Mm-hmm. Or we're not going to be able to get down into a good lunge without kind of rotating our foot out or going on our tippy toe or wearing shoes that, again, have that support. But like Jen mentioned, when we talk about a shoe with support, with arch support, or that has a very thick heel on it so that we aren't, you know, hitting our heel too hard, really what they do is they cause our foot to adapt to be able to continue to do that thing less and less for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So the more arch support you have in your shoe, the less your foot needs to support the arch itself. So your muscles are just going to continue to forget how to do that support themselves. Same with something with a big cushion so that you're not having a heavy heel strike. The fat pads that our feet so beautifully already have in them will continue to just degrade and
we won't need
atrophy or go away because we won't need them. Our shoe is doing that for us. So again, the more that we can just get barefoot and not be wearing anything around the house, the more we'll start to get our feet used to that natural mobility we need in the toes, the arch support that we need in the arch, and
the
doing
pad.
Slight heel strikes so that our fat pads can start to, you know, revive themselves and do what they're meant to do.
Exactly. Especially as we age, right? We know that our tissues are going to change and our fatty pads are going to change. So the more that now we can start to affect how we're feeling and moving in our feet is so incredibly important. So, and you all know, right? If you've listened to the Optimal Body Podcast or seen any of our pages, we talk about feet all the time because
got kind of a foot fetish over here.
It looks like it, right? It's our base of support. It's our foundation. If we're not paying attention to our foundation, what are we doing up the chain? I think there's a lot of fear in what our spine might look like as we age. And we've talked about this on previous podcasts, but I think it's always important to mention and remember that our spine will change and it will adapt to, especially to the postures that we're continuously being put in over time. But it's just like the inside structures of our spine are going to age like the outside structures of our face, of our hands, of our, you know, of our skin. And if we see wrinkles as normal, this is part of aging, you know, oh, skin starts to sag, that's part of aging. Well, why can't we look at what it happens on images as part of aging rather than being afraid of it, you know, and fearing it or putting so much stress around it.
Yeah. And I think that that's what we tend to do, or at least like that has historically been what people tend to do with images like x-rays or MRIs.
Yeah.
You know, people have tended to say, oh my gosh, you have all of this disc degeneration and the person's 50 plus years old or 60 plus years old. Mm-hmm. And Jen and I have brought up numerous times on podcasts that, you know, research is now showing that 100 people without symptoms that are 50 plus year old, you're going to have the majority of them showing some degree of disc degeneration, or mm-hmm. a high percentage of them showing some degree of disc herniation, you know, or changes in their upper spine. You know, you'll have a lot of providers saying like, oh, well, your upper spine is straightening out, like we need to get that fixed, or you're, you know, never going to feel the same again. And where it is important to understand what might be going on internally, it's not worth it to fear that.
Yes.
Because like we just said, there are tons of asymptomatic people that don't have pain that are walking around that likely have similar images to you. Mm-hmm. So what can we do to make you one of the asymptomatic ones?
Exactly. And I think that's what's so incredibly important. If we start to talk about degeneration as aging, oh, you have degeneration of the spine. Oh yeah, I'm getting older.
Common age-related changes.
Thank you for telling me I'm getting older. Yeah. You know, if that's what we could start to approach it as, I think that would be amazing. And then I really despise, especially as we start to get older, if we get these just x-rays of our spine and we say, oh, here's what yours looks like, and we draw lines on here's where normally it should be, right? It should have this arch, and it should have this curve. Yes, and it again is going to change. And that structure isn't determining why I'm having pains and symptoms. It's just not. We have a lot of studies that continue to show that structure can't 100% correlate to pain. It can't be the deciding factor here. So there's other things at play. And one thing that Dom and I really truly believe in is continuing to find variety of movement and vary your posture, because your posture is never static. So especially when someone's taking an image of you statically standing, that is a snapshot in a moment, but that is not your everyday posture. That's not your active ability to function.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I want to do when I talk about posture with people is move away from this snapshot, this picture of somebody standing with rounded shoulders and having the line drawn where their spine should be landing, and think of posture as this lifelong movie or reel or video. And really the goal should be, okay, how can we be standing or holding our body in one posture for as little amount of time as possible?
Yeah, really.
Because really, another thing Jen and I love to say is the best posture is the next posture. And if I'm having symptoms in my upper back and neck, how can I keep that upper back and neck moving? How can I move it into positions that it's, you know, I'm not usually in? If I tend to work, you know, at a computer and then drive home and then sit and watch TV, how can I find ways to move out of that and be in a variety of open positions where my chest tends to be open, where my neck tends to be looking up and, you know, chin tucked with neck back a little bit more so than neck forward and chin out? You know, how can you reverse those tendencies and behaviors that you tend to exhibit?
And I think that's where it's important to change up the movements that you might do on a day-to-day basis. So even if you're like, well, yeah, I work at a desk, but I also strength train. Well, that's great, but how are we getting down on the floor? Are we doing different type of movements? Are we opening up our joints and our pressures within our body in these different capacities to feel and experience a variety of movement? And I think that's what's most important. And we can't neglect our baseline, which is like getting into these different ranges of motion, getting into, if I sit all day, am I lying on my stomach at all? Am I propped up on my elbows? Can I even lay on my stomach? Does that feel comfortable? Can I sit cross-legged on the floor anymore? You know, we have to start to put our body in different positions if we want to see a different result. There's no one perfect exercise for your neck straightening out, or the hump that's starting to develop, or your spine that you're starting to see degenerative changes. It's truly about continuing to find different ways to move. If we're sitting in this podcast chair, we're going to get up and we're going to move. We're going to stand. We're going to exercise a little bit. We're going to stretch out our bodies. We're going to find ways to continue to change it up throughout the day. And note that this is something that Dom and I are always conscious of now that we work at computers more than we work with clients, you know, of how we're, what are we really doing and how are we taking inventory of our own health to continue to vary that movement?
Definitely. And okay, so moving into number three. Because we could talk about each of these individually forever, I'm sure. But number three is talking more about our tissue tolerance and how we can really prep our tissues for strengthening. Because as we age, and here's another thing that I can agree with in the majority of people, but like I don't know if it needs to be a normal thing. I think it could be seen as more of a common thing. We talk about sarcopenia or this loss of body mass, but then we also see examples of people who start strength training at 50 and absolutely gain muscle mass in their later years. So that's where I think sarcopenia is another one of those more like common, doesn't have to be normal type of things for me, where if you start strength training, you know, in your later years, you can definitely gain strength and you don't have to continue to have this degradation of your muscle until inevitable death. But how do we prep those tissues? Because especially if strength training and resistance training isn't something that we're used to, then we might start to load our body and our muscles and start getting joint pains because those muscles and those joints aren't used to taking that type of resistance.
Yes, tolerance is really, really crucial and important in progressing in a safe and healthy way. And so that's where we want to look at pliability of tissue before we even start to build that tissue range within the strength. So what I mean by that is, do I have, like, looking at my thighs, right? Thighs tend to be really tight on a lot of people, your quads. And so what does it feel like if I start to compress my quads? You know, can I even touch them? Some people touch is super sensitive or starting to put pressures into them. Now, we don't need to dig into areas. We're not breaking anything up. We've talked about that before, but we do want to start to reprogram our tissue tolerance and our pliability within our tissue, because that's going to help us get more length and mobility. And then with more length and mobility, we're going to be able to strength train through bigger ranges without affecting our joints or putting too much pressure on our joints. We're going to be able to use those muscles more effectively. So that's where I do think it's healthy to foam roll. I do think it's healthy to use tools like Tune Up Fitness, you know, Jill Miller's tools of the balls and everything. I do think it's effective to feel the body, get massages. Like, I think that is a part of building that tissue tolerance before we start strength training.
Yeah, because all of those techniques, I mean, whenever we've talked about them in other podcasts, there's a lot of papers that will show that doing certain foam rolling or doing, you know, work with tune-up balls or massage, like it improves our proprioception of those muscles and those tendons, meaning that they're going to be more engaged and active and aware when we're doing different strength training or exercises, and they're great to do to prep the body before doing strengthening or power work, which again, we want to be building this strength and power, you know, as we age, because it is something that generally is very common for people to lose.
Yes.
And as soon as you start losing the ability to stand up out of a chair or stand up off a toilet or go up and down stairs, that's when we really start to lose important, important function that's going to help us thrive in life and in society. So being able to prep those tissues to then get into strength work or strength training, so important.
And then number four, you know, we have to look at our baseline, and that's always coming back to our mobility. And yeah, I was like coined the mobility queen early on in social media days, because that's what people saw the most of me. But it is something
which makes me the mobility king.
Oh, yeah.
Through marriage.
We should put that split in there again that you did.
Through marriage, mobility king. Nothing to do with my mobility.
But he has improved a lot. There's a lot of mobility aspects that have drastically improved.
Yeah, for being a very tight and, you know, person who has a lot of compensations in my movement patterns, I have a decent amount of mobility overall.
Yes,
people
do.
Are surprised when they see how bendy I am.
Yeah, your deep squat, the ability to move your feet better than you ever have before. I mean,
yeah, well, and those are the areas that I'm not super great in, so.
But it's improved, like, immensely. Yeah. I'm amazed to have seen your journey and to see how it's continued to progress. And I know that it will. And that's where it's so incredibly important for, as we age, to continue to focus on what are the movements that I'm doing that are specifically kind of like what we talked on last podcast, right? Down regulating so I can increase my mobility and address this mobility in order to be able to strength train. It's both. Like, it's not one or the other. It's not, it's both. And that can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to, especially if we program it in little bits. It only has to take 5 to 10 minutes a day. And if we start to do that smart and consistently, that's what's going to make the biggest change.
And this mobility is another great precursor, kind of like number three, to strength training. It's almost a necessity. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to have passive and active range of motion in those joints to then be able to load them and control load over that whole range of motion. So mobility is so vital to, you know, as the precursor to then strength training and then getting into functional things like walking up and down stairs, controlled, standing on one leg, things like that. And you kind of already tapped into what number five is going to be, which is, you know, managing stress.
Yeah.
You know,
so big.
So important. And something that in many aspects, people will go through entire days without, you know, slowing down, bringing some awareness to the events of the days, understanding what is adding more heightened sympathetic input into our life, and understanding how we can put a few more things into our life that help us downregulate and focus on that parasympathetic rest, recover, relax, digest system. And you know, that's all things like breath work is the biggest one that we go to, and focusing on how to use our breath to control that nervous system input, where even if during the busiest and most chaotic portions of our day, we can pause for 30 seconds and take three breaths that are a 2 inhale and 6 or 7 second exhale with a short pause at the bottom, and then continue into your day. Like, you'll be amazed. It sounds insignificant and dumb, but if you just do that, I used this when I was doing 13-hour shifts in an inpatient, outpatient, and skilled nursing facility clinic, where I was just working as long a shifts as I could. And between every patient, I would take this 30-second to 60-second break to just like take 3 to 6 breaths. And it was amazing. As soon as I started doing that, I'd be ready to go in and see the next patient without carrying any of the stress from the previous session or doing notes or whatever. So, yeah. You start talking now.
I mean, everything you said is so important, and realizing that stress is a spectrum as well. And so it's becoming more aware of the stressors that we're putting in our life. When we're saying managing stress, we usually want to talk about managing chronic stress, managing that stress overload that we're feeling like it's consuming us. It's becoming overwhelming, right? That's when we want to start to say, okay, how can I take those moments where I'm bringing in that downregulation practice? But also know that stress in terms of exercise, really important. We need those higher stressors that are going to impact and create stress in our body so that we have both aspects. It's kind of like, you know, we talk about spectrums within the body, within the foot. So I don't want just a supinated high arch, but I also don't want a super flat pronated foot, right? But if I can teach my body how to go super pronated and how to go flat, well, then my body starts to find the balance of the both, and it starts to find its own neutral. Well, it's the same within our body. If I can teach my body manually, here's how I find this stressor, and here's how I lean into stress, good stress, the healthy stress, which is the working out and the overload in that sense. And then I can find the downregulation. I can find that low impact, that breathing, that reset, that really drops me back into just presence within the body. If I can find that spectrum manually without allowing my body to do it on automatic and just take over all the time and feel that anxiety and stress all the time, that is so good for brain health. That's so good for our physiology. That's so good for just all of our systems, literally all of our systems, our lymphatic drainage, our circulatory system, so much. So, and I've talked to women who are, you know, well into menopause, and they've said the only thing that's worked for them is actually starting to get sleep. So focusing on down regulation and then focusing on strength training. So getting both aspects in their life is the only thing that's really managing a lot of those symptoms that come.
Yeah. And no stress is inherently like bad in general. Right. You know, it's like you said, chronically, if we're always sitting in one space and we're not giving our body that spectrum or ability to recover from the high and or more intense sympathetic stressors, mm-hmm. where like strength training, that is a bit more excitatory, or doing a HIIT workout or something like that. But then, of course, we need to have the recovery aspect. Mm-hmm. But on the same flip side, if you're an executive in the workplace, mm-hmm. or you work a hard, you know, job where you're laboring all day long, or if you're parenting four children, mm-hmm. you know, and those are all very high stress environments in their own right. But and you can still be an all-star at that and have your moments or your 15-minute, your 10-minute breaks where you find that down-regulation space, get your system to kind of recover and feel that pronated, you know,
yes.
position of the foot rather than being in that tight supinated position the whole time, and then go back into that day. So again, being able to have that balance and recovery is so important. And so to recap on the 5 points that we brought up, let's see if I can do them. We got our feet, paying attention to our feet and our foundation. Number two our spine, spinal health. The best position is the next position. Then we have tissue tolerance and tissue prepping, yeah. to be able to strength train. Mobility, how important mobility is as that foundation to get back into strength training and all sorts of other functional positions. And then number five is stress, bringing more awareness to what, you know, stressors we have in our day and how to stay balanced, how to see the full spectrum of stress in our lives. And we bring up these 5 specific tips because we address all of these in this month's Grateful for My Body Challenge. Coming up, it starts in November. We're going through a full 30-day challenge with a whole massive group of people who are going to be going through all of these down-regulatory activities, breath work, foot mobility, the active and the passive mobility, tissue tolerance, teaching us how to become more aware of that stress. So much that is going to go on and get packed into this month that's just going to help you fill up and bring yourself some love in your body.
Yeah. I mean, it's more of that down regulation. It's more of that rest recovery before we get into the higher stress impact strength training, right? So this month is really meant to help prep you. It's really meant to set the foundation. And that's what we hope to be doing all together as a huge community, so you can get back and feel good with strength training, get back and feel good with starting to do HIITs again without having pain, without having injury, and with really truly being able to heal the body and set that foundation before you build.
Thanks for joining us again for another episode of the Optimal Body Podcast. Make sure you go down and check that link in the show notes for the Grateful for My Body Challenge. It starts November 1st, so make sure that you get in before we dive into 30 full days of incredible work that's going to help you feel so much in your body. If you loved this episode, share it out with a friend or family member. Consider leaving us a rating and review on your favorite podcasting platform. And of course, we'll see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.